Wherever you see the big bucket, you know you'll get the best. Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken.
On the pothole-peppered road to Palestinian statehood, who'd have thought you'd pass through Kentucky?
Kentucky Fried Chicken, really good.
Indeed, have the words spicy chicken zinger and Palestinian state ever been uttered in the same breath?
My extra spicy, mindage Kentucky.
This week, Palestinians got their first ever global fast food franchise. Ramallah has a Stars and Bucks, frequented mostly by the latter rather than the former. But no McDonald's, not even a Mr. Wimpy.
Three pieces of hot Kentucky. Yeah.
For Shadi, an office worker tucking in with some gusto to his three-piece box, it begged one simple, if facetious, question. Now, the Palestinians going to the United Nations later this week. First Kentucky, second estate?
Maybe. Upcoming period, I think, will be include many things like this if Palestinian got Palestinian state.
Big global brands tend to go where there's stability and profitability. Colonel Sanders deems 109 countries suitable. Some see his arrival here as a small but not insignificant indicator of readiness for statehood.
We are ready for a state. I mean, you know, Zimbabwe is a state, Somalia is a state, Eritrea is a state. You know, I think Palestine is in much, much better shape administratively, economically. I don't think that is the issue here.
Ahmed Awada is the English public school educated chief executive of the Palestinian Stock Exchange. I put it to him that the statehood credentials are not all good. The Palestinian Authority can be pretty lax about collecting taxes, for example. But I guess you could say the same about Greece.
It's not about Palestinian readiness. It's about the world basically coming to terms with its obligation to the Palestinian people, I think.
Nevertheless, in the last year, Palestinians have been notching up a list of national achievements, all aimed at boosting international visibility. In March, the Palestinian national football team played its first competitive game at home against Thailand. The Prime Minister in the West Bank, Salam Fayyad, was in the posh seats.
It's a historic day for our team. One side representing a country that has been around for a very long period of time. Another, we're working on becoming a country.
For the more cultured, the Palestine National Orchestra also made its debut. Clarinetist Mohamed Najam remembers the night.
I felt, maybe for the first time, so proud, and I felt so happy and so excited to play.
Did you feel maybe a little closer to a state that night?
Maybe I saw it in my imagination, and I would like to have it, really.
And the Palestinians wouldn't be the first to use music to promote the dream of a state. In the 1930s, Jewish musicians fleeing persecution in Europe formed what initially was called the Palestine Symphony Orchestra. It went on to be the Israel Philharmonic. Professor Jehoash Hirschberg is an Israeli music historian.
I think it's very important because people are not cows that they eat and they sleep and they work. They really need the cultural experience, spiritual experience. And the fact that the Palestinians started to go in this direction gives me the hope that they will be able to build a state.
But of course, what a state really needs is borders. This is Kalandia checkpoint on the edge of Ramallah, thick with the smell of diesel. It's hot, dusty, stressful. You can sense the simmering frustration and perspiration oozing out of the battered minibuses waiting to carry Palestinians through. They can't get across to Jerusalem without Israeli permission and only after Israel's security checks. But Kalandia was once a place to escape. It was home to Palestine's first airport, opened under the British mandate in the 1930s. After being captured by Israel in 1967, it finally closed shortly after the start of the second Palestinian Intifada in 2000.